Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. As the psalms come from our hearts, as the song reflects our spirit, we praise you, Lord. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look into your word this morning, your spirit would guide us every step of the way. Lord, may your message be unrecognizable as something that would come from my notes. Because we don't want to hear Don, we want to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't do it. It's still green. I'm okay. Would you like a second opinion on that one? Okay. Can you hear me? Can't hear me now. That's all right. Did I pull something loose? Testing. I'm just glad I'm not a technician. All I have to do is preach. Testing, test. Well, I could talk really loud. It probably would make the message shorter. And that wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings either, would it? I would like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking at this time that Jesus talks about praying, because as we get into our Bible school week, you could turn this one on. Testing, 1, 2, 3. There we are. We're live. As we get into Bible school, it's actually just a week from now that we start Bible school. Crank it up, guys. It's coming. And the theme that will be happening on Wednesday night is get praying. And that will be the focus of Wednesday evening. So, teachers, you're sort of getting a one-up here. We want to prepare ourselves spiritually for what's going to go on in Bible school. And talk about prayer. What's interesting about this passage is, we know by chapter 11 of Luke that Jesus had gone away and prayed several times. We know it was important to what he did, and he did it often. What's interesting is it took till chapter 11 till somebody says, hey, Jesus, could you teach us to pray? You know, we see you pray all the time, but could you teach us to pray? And it was as Jesus was praying. They also add, as John taught his disciples to pray. One thing I believe that in our culture today, Am I on? Oh, I'm on. Is that we forget that we can also pray in public. We have that right as Christians. We can pray in public. I know it sometimes upsets people. I had a waitress one time in my congregation after I preached on prayer, and she was hot. I mean, not hot. Waltzed right into that one. So as soon as the preacher gets done preaching, when you have somebody approach the pulpit like this, you know they're hot. And she said, "Preacher, I've been a waitress for 30 years, and I don't like it when people pray before the meal. Because almost all the time, I'm coming up there with the meal while they're praying." And so she was steamed. She said, I don't be telling people to pray. And I said, I'm sorry. Why don't you just take out the meal earlier? She was no less steamed after that. But what I'm stressing is, Jesus was not ashamed to pray. He did it often. His disciples knew he did it. I think this is a time when we as Christians can model the fact that we come to the Lord in prayer. And we should model it often. Model it so often that, like the disciples who come curiously saying, hey, you know, Jesus, we see you praying quite a bit. Why don't you teach us how to do that? As parents, model your prayer life so much that your kids say, hey, I see you praying all the time. I'd like to know how to pray. So one of the first lessons that comes out of this passage in Luke chapter 11 is, let's model prayer and let's teach how to do it. That's what Jesus did. Now, Richard Foster in his book on prayer says that there are 21 types of prayer. I don't think we have to master all of them. But those seem to come in three movements. There's that inward movement. It identifies that fact that we need God. There's that upward movement that glorifies the Father for who He is as creator and sustainer of all things. And then there's that outward movement. Because we know as Christians that if we involve prayer in our life each and every day, it's going to change how we pray, how we play, and how what we say. It's going to change things. Now, Jesus goes through this prayer, and it's one that we know well, and maybe we should just share it together. If you look in your Bibles, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 11 in Luke, let's just read this prayer together. Our Father, I go back to Matthew 6 every time. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Pretty simple, isn't it? Acknowledging God as Father. Calling Him holy, asking for His kingdom to come, asking for what we need for each and every day, bread. And then it's that, forgive us our sins. That's how it changes our lives. We know we're forgiven, we forgive others. Now, the part that comes out most in the Sunday school lesson is the insistent piece that comes later. If you would turn to verse 5, you'll see it reads like this. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are already with me in bed. I can't give up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. There's an interesting aspect to prayer that comes out of these verses. It's an interesting aspect because we know that prayer is that communication that exists between us and God. So many times we fill it up ourselves with everything that we need, everything we think. And that's not bad because God wants to hear our hearts. But the piece that's often missing is that this conversation of prayer grows out of relationship. It grows out of relationship. Notice that in this passage, Jesus says in verse 5, suppose one of you has a friend. Jesus intentionally tries to personalize this aspect of prayer. In other words, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's a wonderful song because it identifies exactly this piece. Yes, we have a friend in Jesus. He's a powerful friend. He's an honorable friend. He's a friend that already knows the end of our prayers when we first start them. He's a friend that knows us even better than we know ourselves. Think about that. God knows us better than we know ourselves as we enter into that conversation. And God knows better what we need than we do. So as we enter into prayer as a conversation, it's a conversation with a very intimate friend that knows much more than we do about ourselves and has the power to accomplish what we need better than we ever could. Notice that as this friend is approached, this friend is approached out of a need. Now, I don't know if you have a friend, a really good friend. A really, really good friend. I want to emphasize a good friend. Who would you call at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're up in Iowa City with a flat tire? I hear a lot of mumbling. Yeah. Who would be that friend that you know that, well, has the means to get the job done, the power to come, and will actually knock themselves out for us? AAA, yes, that could be. Yeah. But this is where this prayer is coming from. And this is where this is going. Because Jesus gives the illustration of you have a friend, and then he goes into the second tense. I'm not exactly sure why. But he says this friend has somebody come from a long journey. He wasn't ready for this friend to come. And so he's left without any food. And at that time of night, he's forced into a situation of not having anything to meet the needs of the traveler who's come to him, and no means to get the job done. But he has a friend that he's willing to take the risk and go to at that time of night and say, "Friend, I have this need. I can't take care of myself. Would you help me?" And it says, Jesus says, and because the boldness of the petition, the man is given the bread for the need he has. Brothers and sisters, I think we often have powerless prayers. Because we lack the boldness to come to the Father. Now, many times we'll come boldly when we're in that last-ditch effort. We've done everything we could ourselves. And so boldly we'll come, "Oh Lord, I've tried every way possible to get this thing taken care of, and I can't do it." And that's about the time we enter into prayer, isn't it? When we're at the end of ourselves, just like this man. But Jesus talks about this asking, seeking, and knocking. In other words, it becomes part of who we are. And I think as children of God, as people who want to be part of His kingdom, we need to be doing that asking and that seeking and that knocking earlier than we do. In other words, it needs to be part of our daily conversation. It needs to be part of our anatomy, our physiology, if you will, that we come before the Father in prayer. Jesus says it like this, "I say to you, ask it will be given to you, seek and you will find, Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Talk about a poor joke. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. That's deadly. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Think about that. There's questions you and I wake up with every morning, right? What are we going to do today? What's going to be part of my... What do you want me to be at and doing, Lord, as part of your kingdom, as I go to work this morning? Many of us are seeking direction in our lives. You guys getting ready for high school, college, all those things that are part of a young person's life, you're seeking, right? And some of us... Do you know middle-aged people like me seek? Lord, what do you want me to do in the midst of this time? And sometimes we, in that pathway, find a door that's closed and we wonder why. Things just aren't going. And Jesus says, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, and who knocks the door will be opened. We're talking about relationship. And the relationship comes to the fore at the last verses. In other words, the one who asks for a fish, God's not going to give a snake. But have you ever read the Bible and figured out that fish is sort of a extra? These were poor people, and bread was the staple. That was the bottom line of what they had to eat every day. If they ask for a fish, God will give you a fish. God will give you what you need. If you ask for an egg, you're not going to be given a scorpion. God seeks the best for us. Jeremiah 29:11 illustrates that God's heart is for us, folks. He's not against us. And prayer is that place that we can draw into conversation with Him and find out where He would have us go. The bottom line is, when we come to prayer, we need to open ourselves up as far as possible. Because I guarantee you, as we open our lives to what God would have us to be doing and allow Him to speak into our lives, we will be surprised at the outcome. God has a plan. This isn't to be a selfish time. This is to be a God time. And we as God's people, seeking God's plan, need to be ready in the midst of our prayers to hear Him. To hear Him. Our prayer time this morning will be different in the fact that we're going to do it differently. We want to spend time listening. Not only talking to God, that's the type of prayer that we're used to. Just putting out a lot of words to God. Have you ever noticed? Most of you have known me a really long time. Sometimes maybe you think it's too long. But do you notice that I don't write my prayers out? Do you know why I don't write my prayers out? Because it's not about me. When I come to represent the congregation in a prayer, that prayer is not my prayer. It's our prayer. I can't write it ahead of time. I don't know what's coming up ahead of time. But it's our prayer. But I don't write my own prayers. Even when I have a time with God alone, I don't write my prayers. Because I don't know what the Spirit's going to lay on my heart to pray for. And the second part of it is, you know, God don't need to hear much from me. I mean, really, God doesn't need to hear much from me other than my praise and my adoration and my admitting that I have a need for what He alone can provide. God doesn't need to hear from me. So I think when we start talking about prayer and get praying, as much as we need to speak and ask and seek and knock, we also need to leave that spot wide open in our lives that allows God to speak to us. Believe it or not, God's got a lot to say. And He's still speaking it here today. So we want, as a congregation, to get praying and pray and pray and pray. It's been in our bulletin, I'll point out to you again, a prayer needs. Each and every bulletin has a sheet like this. Donna remade it in the last, month, 6 weeks, into a neat thing that has topics. So you can stick it on your refrigerator and you have a prayer guide. Congregational prayer guide. At the bottom are the things that came up last week in prayer time, and at the top it's sort of reminding us, you know, let's pray for the schools in the area. Let's pray for the other churches in the area. Let's pray for those who are serving elsewhere. Let's pray for our nursing home residents. Let's every once in a while just pray a little extra for our LDC families that are identified. Let's pray for our MYFers. And Lord, let's pray for our leadership. Steve and I know when you're praying for us. We feel it. But we're going to dedicate a room to prayer. One of the things we know as a congregation is that as we move forward from this spot, one of the things that we need more than anything else is to come to the Lord and get His direction. To get His direction in prayer. There's a little room over here in the corner that we have dedicated to be the prayer room. And I know that it's the whole building. I mean, I often call this building at the corner of 540th Street and Cockins Avenue as God's mission station for the congregation of Lower Deer Creek. And it is. We gather here. We fellowship, we communicate, and we go out from here in the mission the Lord gives us. And we do fellowship well. We do it well. And I know we pray. I know we fill this room with a group of prayers, those who intercede for us on a daily basis, those who raise the congregation often. But this room is dedicated as a place of prayer. It's quiet, it's off to the corner, and I hope it becomes a place where not only prayers are raised, maybe somebody wants to come early on a Sunday morning and raise the worship service in prayer in that spot, but I hope it becomes a place of listening, a place of quiet. It's appointed with some nice chairs, a table. The rug is really good for kneeling in prayer. I mean, it's nice and cushy to the knees. It's good for kneeling. But I hope it becomes a place where we, during the course of a week, maybe in a time of distress in our lives, we can go to that room and pray. Enjoy its comfort, but also enjoy the quiet with which we can listen to what the Lord might have for us. We're also aware that it might be a listening place for those of us who counsel, since Steve and I are not the only ones doing counseling it will become that kind of room where we can talk and listen to one another. Perhaps at the end of an altar call on a Sunday morning, we could have those two or three people who come forward. We'd have a quiet place to go with them rather than through the congregation back to my office. But brothers and sisters, as a congregation, I would entreat us to take seriously our prayer. Our prayers before God as to who we are to be as His people. Our prayers to God as to who we are to be as individuals. And also take that time where we raise one another up in prayer for that guidance, that healing that each and every one of us is seeking from time to time. So I'd like for the elders to come forward at this time, if you would, please. And Steve. And anybody else who would like to help dedicate this room over here in the corner for prayer. Too bad we don't have video. We could just all go in the room together. Anybody else want to come forward for the dedication of this room? Come on down.